Back on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Justin and Ailish on your Tuesday morning, coming off a long weekend here in Canada, someone that I don't think was celebrating it just like we were, working hard, the grind never stops, for Jackie Redmond, co-host of NHL Now on NHL Network and ringside reporter, NHL on TNT, currently in sunny Florida covering Panthers, Hurricanes, which has just become a Panthers dominance. Jackie, how's it going this morning?
It's going awesome. I'm looking out my hotel window at the beach right now, so I can't complain about the assignment, to say the least.
I know, you're living the dream. I was looking at your Instagram story. You've got palm trees. It's a lovely life. I think it is getting nicer up here in Ontario, so when you do visit, it won't be ice cold as it usually is. We got to ask you about the hockey boat. We got to ask you about your buddy, Bruce Boudreaux, ringside last night. Oh, we love him. We played the clip, the behind the scenes.
Creating content. Yeah,
he's a content guy now. What's going on down there?
Listen, his dream is to maybe be a manager one day in WWE. So I text with Bruce this morning and last night, but this morning, and he just said, time of my life, Jackie. Oh, like, wow. Time of my life. He had so much fun. I'm so happy for him because he loves WWE so much. He is a legit fan. It's not about anything else. It's not about, like, attention or anything like that, if that makes sense. Like, he just really, really, truly loves wrestling. And Kevin Owens is his favorite. So, obviously, KO treated him to a pretty good time last night. And I just got such a kick out of him being right behind the commentary table. Like, Bruce Boudreaux was on TV all night last night.
Well, most managers are heels, right? Like, can Bruce Boudreaux be a heel?
I think he's got it in him, Justin. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
I really do. I think he could do it. I think he could. You know, Kevin Owens better be careful. Start spending too much time with Gabby. You never know what could happen.
Okay, let's take this conversation for a bit of a dark turn and touch on the Maple Leafs. We've been doing
a heel turn.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, there could be a Bruce connection there. We could get to that in a sec. But yeah, it's been a difficult couple weeks here for the Toronto Maple Leafs organization as a whole. As you're watching this from sunny Florida and other parts in the United States that, you know, as Ailish mentioned, better weather. What's your take on everything that unfolded over the last couple weeks here?
Oh, gosh, I think my take has changed every single day, to be honest with you. I'm not sure if that's the case in Toronto, but one day I think I feel one thing, and then the next day I'm like, I'm not sure, and I kind of recalibrate over everything that's going on there. I think, for me, I've come to the point where I'm like, I got to see how this thing plays out. I have no idea what to expect. Who's going to be the GM? How are they going to manage everything that they need to manage, not just in the entire offseason, but in the next month alone? It's a fascinating story. It's one that all of the media here, even though we're covering this incredible story of the Florida Panthers going on an improbable run and Sergei Bobrovsky playing out of his mind, we're all talking about the Maple Leafs every day because it feels like every day there is some new angle that someone has thought of that we are kind of just batting around at morning skate or at practice just amongst the media. I think my initial reaction was surprise, to be honest with you. I mean, I fully thought Kyle Dubas would be back. And then, you know, obviously, as we learned from Brendan Shanahan, they did too. it's been a fascinating thing to watch from afar. I can only imagine what it is like in that city right now, being at the center of it and dialed into it. But, you know, I do wonder, you know, what the right move is for Brendan Shanahan and the staff, who the right person is to come in and start to manage that. Because as I'm sure you guys have talked about ad nauseum on your show, there's a lot. And it's a huge, huge decision for Brendan Shanahan. And then it's a massive undertaking for whoever comes in. So for me, I just think that the general manager has to be someone with experience. And then you got to figure out who the coach is that can get this team and whatever it looks like next year over this hump. Because they're too talented for one playoff series win in however many years it's been. So
As a quick aside, and I know they've moved on. They're one win away from the Stanley Cup final, but are the Panthers still like reveling in the conversation around the Leafs? Like, they took so much pride, it seemed, and so much pleasure in beating the Maple Leafs. It feels like that wouldn't just dissipate like that.
You know what? It's funny. Yesterday at the morning skate, someone asked Paul Maurice, like, are you worried that your team is getting all this attention now? They've become this big story. The Miami Heat are also on this run. It's becoming bigger by the day, and they're not really an underdog anymore. And he was like, oh, we got way more attention last series. We are not worried about the attention. We're working our tails off. He used a different word. So we're not worried about too much positive attention. We handled a lot of that last round. So I do think that they relish in it. I think for Paul Maurice, he knows the pressure of the Toronto market. He understands it better than anyone, I think, based on his couple of years there as head coach. So I think he relishes in it a little bit. But I also think, like, I think he sort of empathizes with fans and people in Toronto for how crazy that market is and the pressure that's on those top players and Sheldon Keefe and the entire organization just to kind of, you know, win a Stanley Cup and every single little thing is scrutinized. So I'm sure he's watching from afar too, fascinated by the whole thing.
We certainly love adding to the pressure of the Toronto market and the media cycle, because it is, as you said, it's almost like a privilege to kind of be in it and enjoy it. But you need to deliver results. And I guess with the Dubas question still pondering an answer, Sheldon Keefe is maybe the next step of somebody that might not be leading this team. We don't know for sure. Might be the first step that a GM comes in. But if it is like a tandem, if we look at coach and GM, like, what type of person should be taking the realm here and the opportunity to lead this team? We brought Bruce Boudreau up, as we mentioned, to start the show. Obviously, he's a guy that we've talked about many times in terms of relation to the Maple Leafs, but maybe not the right voice. Like, if you're looking for a new voice, a new regime, you said experience, but are there names that you think could be a good fit either on the bench or up in the press box?
You know, it's hard to imagine Sheldon Keefe would be back. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's not a slight to Sheldon Keefe. I just think, you know, you look at the run that this team has been on since Austin Matthews arrived, and it's just not good enough, right? It's a winning business. And I think, at least from my perspective, my biggest thing with the Maple Leafs, and again, I thought Dubas would be back, but I did think that there would be a major shakeup, or I felt that it was necessary for there to be some sort of shakeup. What that is, I don't know. I don't get paid enough money to know what the right call is. But I just think, you know, Dubas ran it back so many times that eventually you had to look at it and be like, okay, there's been one playoff series win in years of being in the postseason, and we've never done anything. We've never traded under Sheldon Keefe. Let's just go with him, right? 4 years, one playoff series win. There's never been a major core piece or a member of the core four dealt away. The head coach has come back every single year. The general manager has come back every single year. Everyone's gotten their contracts. Like, there's never, ever been a message of some kind that losing is not acceptable. And I think no matter who you are, no matter how badly you want to win, there is an inevitable air of complacency that sets in. I think that's just human nature, right? Like, if Ailish and Justin, like, if you and I knew, like, listen, no matter how bad our shows are, we will be back. They will never get rid of us. We'll get new contracts. Like, it'll be great. Like, it's just inevitable. You would find yourself in a very comfortable position, right? And so I felt, you know, coming out of the playoffs that there needed to be something. In terms of the right voice and the right coach, I would imagine it's someone with experience. I think somebody that can handle big-time superstars and that isn't afraid to, you know, make tough decisions and stand by them, regardless of how the players or the fan base feels about something. You know, I've thought a lot about early in the season when Sheldon Keefe, you know, ripped the team. I believe it was after the West Coast road trip. Mm-hmm. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
And I can't remember exactly what he said, but he was really hard on his players in the media. And a couple days later, he walked it back. Mm-hmm. And you know, to me, that's just an indication that, you know, it seems like maybe the players are running the show a little bit more than the coach might be running the show, or someone else behind the scenes, right? I think the coach needs to have control and authority, and not at least, and again, this is just based on perspective. I don't know that this is just my opinion. You know, somebody that isn't afraid to hurt anyone's feelings and can find a way to motivate this team and make hard decisions without losing the room. Because I do feel like Sheldon Keefe, you know, started to tiptoe around things a little bit with that team. I don't know if you guys agree, but that's kind of the sense that I get.
Yeah, I totally agree.
The players are running the asylum a bit, maybe.
I don't know if it's the players, but I feel like there is a bit of an autonomy issue. I don't know, and we've been talking about this for a long time. I'm not sure Sheldon Keefe would be the coach that he wanted to be. And Kyle Dubas is a really nice guy, right? And everyone loved working for him, and he had a lot of support. But I'm not actually sure that he's the one that wants everyone to play nice either. So I don't know where that stems from. But I guess we'll find out, since the only person that's guaranteed to not be here next year is Kyle Dubas, whether or not he had an impact there. But he was a valuable guy, and this organization...
I do agree with that.
You agree that it wasn't him setting that culture?
That Dubas was valuable. I do think that he did a lot of good things. He was not perfect, obviously, by any stretch.
Yeah,
because again, you have to win. But I do think Kyle Dubas was a good GM.
Yeah, that's what I want to ask you about. Like, what do they? They're going to have someone who's going to be talented come in and do their job as well. But what can't they replace with Dubas gone, in your opinion?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, I think. They can't replace the relationships that he had with the players. Like, that's something that they can't immediately replace, no matter who they bring in. They could bring in someone with a lot of, you know, street cred, a lot of experience, a lot of cachet, but it's not going to probably, most likely, not going to be somebody that has the relationships that Kyle Dubas has built over his tenure in the organization with the likes of Austin Matthews. And I think that's a real concern. Austin Matthews, I believe that he does want to be a Leaf, and I don't think that Kyle Dubas not being there necessarily changes that in an instant, but it was pretty clear in the media availability with the players that a lot of these guys have a solid relationship with Kyle Dubas and a lot of respect for him and had a lot of nice supportive things, I guess is a better way to say it, things to say about Kyle Dubas when the season came to an end. So, you know, with Austin Matthews' future up in the air and just one year left on his deal, I do worry about that. Not because I think, you know, Matthews finds this out and goes, oh, well, I'm out. If Kyle Dubas is out, I'm out. I don't think it's that drastic, but I do think that it certainly doesn't help the negotiation that, you know, sitting across the other side from Matthews' agent will be somebody that they haven't been dealing with for the last X amount of years. So I think that's a real concern.
Yeah, I mean, say what you want about Kyle Dubas, and again, we're going to pros and cons, we've been doing it forever, but I think one of the things that he really cemented, or you hope he cemented with the organization, he made it so that you want to be back here, right? Like, John Tavares came, and he was the one who brought John Tavares, and Spets, Giordano, and Thornton, and Simmons. Like, it was an endless conveyor belt of players who maybe previously wouldn't have been here, and suddenly saw to it that it was okay to be a Toronto Maple Leaf when Kyle Dubas was in charge of things. And I don't know if that will last beyond, you know, into the next regime. I don't know how much Kyle should get credit for that, but it's true that people wanted to be a part of this organization when Kyle was a part of the organization.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like anything, right? Like, I'm not sure if you guys have ever had this unfortunate experience in your careers, but when someone gets let go that you are not expecting to get let go, this happened to me early in my career at the Score, and you're not expecting it. It's somebody that you really respect, that you have a great working relationship, that is a big presence at your place of employment, and that you care about. And when that happens, and there's a shock value to it, and you don't see it coming, it really does send shockwaves through the workplace. Now, for the Leafs, obviously it's the off season; they've all gone home, so it's different. But I do think that that matters and has a massive impact on how people feel about what is going on, right? And so I'm so curious what types of conversations right now are happening. Like when Austin Matthews talks to Mitch Marner, what do they think about this? Not just emotionally about somebody that they respect and had a great relationship with not being there in Kyle Dubas, but what did they think of what Brendan Shanahan had to say? What do they think about the idea of a new GM coming in and making a ton of changes? What do they think about a new head coach? What do they hope is going to happen? I'm sure they are on the phone having all of these conversations as well, and I'm very curious what they would be saying about what, for me anyways, appears to be a bit of a soap opera happening in Toronto right now. But at least changes are happening because I do think they're necessary. We'll see if they're the right changes, but that remains to be seen.
Yeah, I think the biggest question we had was what were those conversations like in their exit meetings, which we heard got a little tense. What is Dubas going to say next? Because I mean, we've heard one side of the story, and obviously it was a good expose about how Brendan Shanahan felt about this, but we'll find out how Kyle Dubas does on his own time. But I wonder, with everything that you just laid out, the way that the organization has kind of taken a little bit of a soap opera spin, how the players are feeling, and the laundry list of things that need to get done before basically July 1st, if you think that this job is maybe a little less attractive now, if others around the league are looking at it like, ooh, I don't know if I want to step foot into that, or is it still, you know, the crown jewel, getting to be the GM of the Toronto Maple Leafs, getting the opportunity to maybe lead this team to success after a kind of tumultuous turn? Where do you lie on how attractive this job might be?
You know what? That's a great question, because we all obviously heard Elliot Friedman say, you know, people are going to come out of the woodwork for this job. And I do believe that that's true, but you do raise a good point. I mean, I think it's Toronto, it's the Maple Leafs, it's a laundry list of things that have to get done. The pressure is immense. But I think in the hockey world, and I think this was the case when Babcock signed there and shocked us all that he decided to coach there, it's like everyone thinks that they're the one that can fix it, right? Like when there's like, when you're growing up and, you know, there's like a guy that's attractive and popular but has like a million red flags, and all the girls know that he has a million red flags, but they still want to date the bad boy because they think, I'll be the one to fix him. Like, it will be fine. You know, I feel like it's that type of job, right? Like, yes, the pressure is immense. There's a lot to be done. The pressure's maybe never been higher on this team, you know, in the Austin Matthews era, and the fact that he only has 1 year left. So I think it's a daunting task, but I think there's a lot of experienced people in hockey that probably feel like I could go in there and figure this thing out. And if I do, oh boy, like if you can be the guy to make the right changes and get this team over the hump and lead them to a Stanley Cup, I mean, you're etched in history forever. You're getting a statue. You are like a king. So I still think people will want the job, because I think, and we're talking about professional sport, right? I think these guys are competitive. So they want it, like the challenges are probably even more enticing, right? They get to come in and they'll be able to take a lot of credit for what they accomplish if they come in and they're able to make the right moves and make it happen. It won't be, you know, oh, I was handed a great roster and they were already, you know, I mean, the Leafs have accomplished a lot. It's not fair to say that they haven't. But if they come in and make the right changes as a general manager, they'll get a lot of credit for it. You know, they're not just inheriting a team that's going to stay the same, and they're not inheriting an easy job, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. It's early. Sorry, guys.
Oh, yeah, the Leafs are they have all the red flags, but they're wearing the leather jacket and they're riding the motorcycle.
That's it.
They're looking pretty attractive right now. Let's go to the two series that are still ongoing. It threatens to be very, very quick, this conference final, with Florida up 3-0 and Dallas trailing 0-2 to Vegas. Let's start with Florida. Is the story Bob is writing right now like an all-timer? And are there actually people thinking that Matthew Tkachuk deserves the Conn Smythe Trophy over Sergei Bobrovsky right now?
After last night, for him putting another amazing performance on his list, Sergei Bobrovsky, I mean, I would be hard-pressed to believe that. Like, listen, I love Matthew Tkachuk. He's got swagger through the roof. He's scored some huge goals, and he is absolutely the identity of the Florida Panthers. But it is Sergei Bobrovsky, and there can be no other choice. Like, I don't know how you would select anyone else. I mean, 8 straight games with 2 or fewer goals. The man has stopped pretty much everything in this series. I think his save percentage after last night is .976 or something asinine like that. He is on an all-time run. I think that's become obvious. And it's been incredible to watch. I don't think anyone expected it. I think a lot of people within the Florida Panthers room are very happy for Sergei Bobrovsky. I've heard some great stories about how hard he works. Aaron Ekblad compared him to Jágr the other day and said he might actually have a more insane work ethic than Jágr. And I was like, that's crazy. And he's like, well, he's not showing up to the arena at 3 a.m. with his own key, but he is very intense and detailed, and it is very Jágr-esque. Mm. And, you know, Ekblad has seen Jágr up close. So I think they're happy for him that all that work is paying off. Obviously, there's been some struggles for Bobrovsky in the last handful of years with the weight of the contract and not living up to it and being replaced by numerous different goaltenders over the last couple of years. So I think the team is really happy for him. I think that that's also been something that the team has fed off of, not just because he's, you know, saving their butts on a nightly basis sometimes, but because I think they genuinely have a bond and are really happy for him. And I think that they're playing even better in front of him because they want it for him so badly. So it's been awesome to watch. But yeah, anyone making the case that Matthew Tkachuk should win the Conn Smythe over Bobrovsky, should it come down to that, is just trying to be a hot take artist. Like, you can't actually believe that. Like, there's no way.
No, there certainly is not. Let's shift to the Western Conference Finals. Dallas Stars also looking to kind of find something to rally around. They're down 0-2 here to the Vegas Golden Knights going into Game 3. What does Dallas need to do if they need to find a chance to get back into this? Is there something they can rally around to get an opportunity to make this a 2-1 series? Because we got 1-3-0 series. We're going to have another 3-0 series. Will be a really quick conference finals here.
Could you imagine if we just had sweeps across the board in the conference finals, and then over in the NBA, like a similar thing is happening?
It's just
like
everybody wants to get to summer.
Insane. Yeah, it's wild. You know, I think, you know, in the series that I'm covering, which obviously I'm a bit more dialed into than over in the West. You know, I think with the Carolina Hurricanes, like, what's frustrating, I think, for Rod Brindamore and for their fans is, like, they're playing pretty well, and they just can't score. They can't beat the hottest goalie we've seen in a long time in the playoffs. So for them, I don't know what they can change, right? That's what Roddy B keeps saying. He seems almost like dumbfounded. Like, I don't know what we can do better. I don't know how I can ask more of my team. Like, they are playing well. They've had stretches of the series where they've dominated play and they just haven't been able to cash. Over in the West, you know, I really like the Dallas Stars. Like, I kind of have all year. I think they're a deep team. I think they have a lot of different game breakers in their lineup that are capable of breaking through. I mean, game two was devastating for them to allow the Golden Knights to tie the game with 2.5 minutes left. But I do think, in looking at the two series before last night, I said this to someone yesterday, I think Dallas has a better chance of getting back in their series than Carolina does, because they do have Jake Oettinger, who is capable, as we have seen, of stealing a game, of having a lights-out performance. They're going to need one from him in Game 3. They're going home. They have players on their roster that have been through deep runs before and know that coming back from 0-2 is not impossible. We've seen it many a time. So I think they can do it, but I think they're going to have to get Vegas out of that incredible structure within which they play. You know, Bruce Cassidy coaches a very disciplined team within the way that they play. I don't mean, you know, discipline like penalties. I just mean discipline within, you know, how they believe they should play. So we'll see. But I think Otter's the key in Game 3. They need a big game from him. And he's been good. So it's not obviously to take anything away from the way he's played. I mean, they've gone to overtime in both their games. So we'll see.
Well, you might get a Florida-Vegas Stanley Cup final, which would be a fun trip for you as well, because you get to be in both sides of the coast in some some nice weather. So maybe
and by the way, I will say, Bruce Boudreau, you know, as head coach of the Maple Leafs, that would be a dream come true for him too, because he is a big Leafs fan. Mm-hmm. Like when he's in the league, that's not the case. But when he is just watching from afar as a hockey fan and an analyst, like that's the team he grew up rooting for. It would be very John Tavares-esque if Bruce Boudreau were to go coach there. So the passion, I mean, he would bleed blue.
He's got it.
And I think that would be a bonus. But I think there's a lot of people. I think there's a lot of people in hockey that bleed blue that just don't admit it. You know what I'm saying?
I think you're right, Jackie. We'll uncover them. Part of our job is to uncover the passion, and we definitely saw that with Bruce. Maybe he'll be a heel. WWE, we'll see. He's got a lot of career path ahead of him. We'll enjoy the rest of the trip down in Florida. Hopefully we get a chance to chat with you after these series have both completed and before the Stanley Cup final.
Hey guys, thanks for having me on. I haven't been on in a while, so I'm glad I was able to make it happen this time.
Of course. Well, now hopefully we get one more chance before the playoffs end, and then maybe during the draft.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Okay, perfect, Jackie. We'll enjoy the trip.
All right, see you guys.
Chat soon. That's Jackie Ribbon, co-host of NHL Now on NHL Network and Ringside Reporter NHL on TNT. And we mentioned Stars looking to rally tonight, hosting the Vegas Golden Knights game 3 of the Western Conference Finals at 8 p.m. That's on Sportsnet CBC and Sportsnet Now.
We need one of these conference finals to be competitive.
So tell me what
Dallas,
you're saying about the
Dallas
scheduling, though.
To.
If well, they end.
Well, I guess contractually with TV, I mean, TV was another thing when you were gone. It was like, when are these games starting? Why are
struggle.
We waiting multiple days?
Yeah.
But with the conference finals, everything was perfect. Every other day, everything's all
it
great.
Is nice.
But when it's every other day, it leads us to a pretty specific date for the Stanley Cup final and the NBA finals, which are already set in stone. And if these conference finals all wrap up quickly, we might be waiting like a full week before we actually see a competitive game
well,
in the NBA
the
or
Heat
NHL.
Could sweep tonight.
Yeah.
Last night, the Nuggets swept. You could have the Panthers sweep. And I mean, we're still 2 games away, at least from the conclusion of the Vegas and Stars.
Conference finals could be up before the weekend.
Okay. What do you think it's ever happened in the history of sport where NBA and NHL all sweep in the same conference finals?
I don't know. We're going to have to check that.
Well, where's Sportsnet Stats Twitter page?
Might have to send an email here.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure they're listening, and we'll have a tweet in the next 45 minutes.
Fingers crossed.
Never in the history of professional sports has this happened.
Why do Sportsnet Stats have that voice?
I feel like they're very professional.
Okay.
You know?
That's fair.
They
are professional.
They are very professional. They do their job. Someone that'll bring a little fun and vibes is Colby Armstrong as well, former NHL forward, current Sportsnet Penguins analyst and host of the Chicklets Game Notes. He's going to give us a little bit of a Pittsburgh take on Dubas and the Penguins and all the hoopla that's circling around over there. And if that, I guess, network or that franchise, that market is as exciting as we think maybe for Dubas, as Kipper brought up, like, it's not going to be easier. It's not going to be much different. Fenway Sports Group might be worse.
Last couple final years of Sidney Crosby's career, they're pressure packed, high stakes with those final seasons.
All right, we'll have Colby on the other side of the break. We'll do a baby wake and rake, so send those picks in at 590-590. We'll chat about the FanEx Cup standings as well. Take a look ahead at, what is it, the block party that I might
the
be joining.
Party. You're a blockhead.
I might be a blockhead. All right, a final block on the Fan Morning Show.
Big opinions and in-depth conversations covering the Leafs, Jays, Raptors, and the NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Justin and Ailish. Let's bring in our next guest, Colby Armstrong, former NHL forward, current Sportsnet and a Penguins analyst, also host of Chicklets Game Notes. Good morning, Colby.
Good morning, Justin. Thanks for having me on, guys.
No,
I'm just like in the. I'm in. You forgot to say. You forgot to say, father of four, just trying to ram kids out the door for school every morning. A savior for Earth and humanity, and all this other.
We love getting the three lines in the thing that the script we're reading off of. So
we have to cut some
we'll
out.
We'll get you to three lines for next time. Let's start with Dubas. The thirst level in Pittsburgh for Dubas is at what?
Oh, jeez. I would say I would say it's pretty up there. I mean, I think that, you know, any GM search that has been going on, well, Pittsburgh here especially, right? And I think, you know, up until Calgary named their guy, pretty much what it sounds like, Conroy. And I think that kind of changed everything from, like, regular interviews to, like, whoa, okay, now we got this guy. So I think it was a rather big deal. I thought that press conference was crazy,
spicy,
too, with Shanny.
Eh?
Like, you don't see that. Oh, yeah, I was loving it. I was like, what is going on here? This is an amazing story. So, yeah, it's been quite the last week or so, I guess, in Leafland, beyond whatever else has been happening.
Honestly, I know. Like, the fact that they lost round two feels like years ago because of all the stuff that's happened ever since. So the Penguins and GM, Kyle Dubas, could be a fit, but I wonder what attracts him to this. We've been talking about this all morning. It's like he's got some players in his hands, like Crosby, Malkin, Letang, if he were to move there, that, I don't know, what does the market want right now? Do they want a GM that's going to come in there and trade some of these massive, massive names? Or is he going to have the leeway to make those difficult decisions, and what the Fenway group kind of wants in someone that's going to come into that role? Like, it just seems like the Maple Leafs were a really tough place to be a GM, but wouldn't Pittsburgh be similar?
Yeah, I think so. I think obviously it's like the good thing about here that I like even playing here comparatively to Toronto was that they love sports. So it's like a really good sports town, but it's just not as, like, you know,
cutthroat,
steroid fueled media attention. You know, I just came up with that.
I like
but
it.
It's just a little bit like less. In that regard, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you can still kind of do your thing and you'll get some criticism, but it's like, it's kind of like small town criticism a little bit almost. So it's just a little bit less, but still, like, you still have the heat. But I think, you know, in talking, I don't know, and that came up pretty quick, unless they're ready to come in and talk to Kyle, is what's your plan? Like, looking like, you know, moving forward, we sign you to, let's just say, you know, a 3 to 5 year contract, you have Crosby, Malkin, Letang for this many years. What are we looking to do? What's your thoughts? And, you know, I'm sure he tried to gather them and say, hey, listen, we got to go for it. This is what I would do in his presentation or just in conversations. And if he had enough time to even come up with that, well, he's going through, like, clean out of, like, Toronto Maple Leafs land. So it is pretty wild. But I think, you know, when he pops up on the thing, and he's been linked to Fenway Sports Group for months now, right? As kind of a relationship that they know each other or friends in one way or another. And I think that, you know, it's smart for Pittsburgh, at least anyways, for Fenway to, when his name came up, to at least talk to him.
What are the priorities for Fenway Sports Group? It seems like, okay, yeah, they definitely want the interest in Dubas. We've heard for a while now, and it makes sense to have him running the hockey team. But it also feels like this is a group that just wants to attract intellectuals in sports who could help, you know, an entire collection of teams, as they have a collection of teams under their banner. Would it be like, okay, just come run the hockey team? Or is there a possibility that Dubas goes there and just is someone that works for Fenway Sports in a general manner?
Yeah, I was listening to 32 Thoughts the other day, and Jeff Merrick said that, like, everyone thinks they're talking to him also for, like, the hockey team.
Yeah.
They might be talking to him for the baseball team. Mm-hmm. Like this is where it's at. So I think that's a great point. I think it's a great point in what they look for. I think they're very very detailed in what they like, and people that are analytic based, and I think that helps in maybe every realm that they kind of touch with regards to sports. So, yeah, I think on their list of people, because, you know, when they first bought the team, when is it now? Like, almost 2 years ago, it was like, these guys find their guy, you know, these guys will find their guy. And obviously Hextall's gone, and then all this stuff happens, and now they're on the hunt and on the search, and Dubas's name is linked, and they do their due diligence and are very thorough in the people that they're looking for and the type of brains that they're looking for. I guess I could say that, but it's, I from what I've heard and what I've been told, like they know what they like and they go and get it. So, I don't know what the priorities are for them. I think the priority also is to like win, right? When you sign, you know, Malkin and Letang, to extensions, I think that kind of changed trajectory of what they were looking to do possibly quickly. And I think Fenway wanted to get them done and get them signed. And, you know, all of a sudden that kind of flipped the whole plan on its head. And so you're going to have to come in and try to put a team together here in Pittsburgh to win and win for the next few years until it's time to get really ugly and get really bad and get in that lottery.
So a lot of changes probably to happen. Obviously we know with Kyle Dubas, but maybe with the head coach. And I was, you know, scouring the internet and the betting markets, and I saw that your buddy Biz is even listed in betting odds for Leafs head coach. Should we be sprinkling $5 on that? Like, you got an inside scoop for us?
Yeah, like Biz is busy, like drawing up breakouts and stuff. I can barely talk to him these days. Yeah, he's very, very on top of it. But we saw that the other day too, and we were dying. What are the odds for that?
I think it's like 151-1 or whatever. It's insane.
So you're telling me
it's not 0%. There is a number there, so you never know, man. Like, stranger things have happened.
Well, I gotta say, are you guys like? I'm like blown away at like business fandom for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
It's crazy.
Like,
he loves.
Well, yeah, it's like a little kid just came out in him and he's pulling for these guys. He's pulling for the fans. He's pulling for the city. He's a Doobie guy. Yeah. And he's a Keith guy. And he's got
Gretzky taking shots at the Leafs. Like he's pulled something. Yeah, business fandom is a powerful thing. Make him the new coach.
He could be. God.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, you just need passion like that, right? I think that's huge. So. It's been quite the scene here, especially through this playoff run and getting by the first round, seeing his reaction, and I imagine with the new GM comes a new coach, right? It almost seems that kind of is usually what follows, possibly. So I don't know, it'll be crazy to see how that settles in Toronto as well. What a crazy few weeks now!
I know, and there's more to come.
What does Biz call them? Biz calls them the headline hogs.
Oh, yeah.
That is so true.
It's pretty good. I mean, it's just going to keep writing itself. I wanted to ask you about player interviews, like when you're on your way out at the end of the season, because we did hear some stuff that maybe it was, you know, a bit spicy with the players. And what's the point of those? And have you been in them where they have been a bit full of tension or had some pushback? Or do you think that might be just exaggerated a bit because we're the headline hogs?
I don't know. I feel like there's way more information coming out, I guess.
Just gossip,
Yeah, like gossipy stuff coming out. Like, and I've been used to hearing. I don't know. Does that feel like that for you guys too? Like, you guys have been around this and locker room cleanouts and, you know, end of season. I don't know. I talked to a couple of players. Like the insiders are very busy on players talking to them on the side. So it's, I don't know. It's been interesting to see and hear kind of the feelings coming out of Toronto and coming out of other teams as well, right? Like the Calgary thing was pretty crazy too with, you know, what the players and Sutter and what they were looking for in a change. So, I guess it works too in a way. Mm. But also I am a little bit surprised. And in those meetings, I would say, you know, it's just a wrap up of how your year went in general, almost, and a checklist of you know, things that you might need to do better in the off season to come back and improve your game on different things next year. It never really was. And then sometimes it was hard. Yeah. Sometimes it was like, you need to be way better next year. And usually the guys know this I feel like this year was a lot of emotion for the Leaf players and staff, you know, getting the playoffs, a lot of pressure, winning around, what that was like, and then just bowing out so quickly against Florida, like everyone seems to be doing, so no big deal. But at the same time, it's like I think there's just a lot of emotion around, you know, this group and what they've been through also, because it is fairly tough and pressure-packed.
Yeah, I think a fair question, though, is like, what could they possibly be complaining about? Like, the only thing that makes sense to me is, okay, they're very vocal about they don't like the head coach, because if they're turning on each other, maybe that's one thing. But at this point, and just like all these playoff failures, all these opportunities in front of the media to be honest and to say something real, they all turn it down. If it's behind closed doors, and I get it, there's a bit of a power struggle. People are clinging on to those who still have power and may have influence. Like the only thing that I could really, that makes sense that the players would be complaining about would be the performance of their head coach.
Yeah, and like the standard set, right? Probably. I think I'd have to agree. I would think you'd have to be somewhere along the lines of day-to-day dealings, right? And that, you know, they're not going to come in here and go, oh, man, Kyle Dubas, you know, oh, like you barely, you see him here and there, but, you know, the relationship there is different. Mm-hmm. When you're dealing with the coach every day and the expectation of, you know, the game plan and, you know, where the standard is and what the expectation is and where the level of, you know, push is and what could be better in regards to that, I think that's where most of your grievances come from, is the people you're in the room with day to day, and those are the people. So if they were unhappy or they think there needs to be more of this, I would imagine if I was a player doing that, it would be about, you know, the staff or the coaches.
So Bob's now doing it to the Carolina Hurricanes. He's been absolutely brilliant. I think 200 minutes of shutout hockey or something along those lines. Like he's been absolutely unbelievable. Does that help the optics at all for the Maple Leafs? I mean, optics maybe already shot through what we've seen through these press conferences here, but at least maybe a little bit more reason behind why the Leafs failed in the second round this time.
Yeah, I think I don't know. It's just crazy with the goaltending situation. And I've been saying this with the Leafs, you know, it's like, it's kind of like the forgotten thing that they've always just not went and really solidified. And if they did, it was like, hopefully these guys can find their game type of players, you know? So you can see what it does in the playoffs. So like Bob is insane right now. And, you know, Bob's had hard times too. Like Bob and, you know, has knocked off Tampa Bay. Yeah, sure. But it's like Bob for forever was, I don't know, he was like just the guy that couldn't get it done also in certain situations, even with, you know, kind of feisty Columbus teams, or couldn't really string it together. But would you say he's earned his like entire contract on this like run since coming into this these playoffs?
100%. Like, for sure. Win a Stanley Cup, oh, you justify 10.5 for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable. His numbers are ridiculous. I saw something. I'm not like a huge analytical guy, but like these are pretty good. It's like during a certain amount of games leading up to the playoffs when he was in, his like expected goals was like crazy. Like he was like -6. Mm. He's +18 now. So he's just like nothing's going in. Like he just doesn't care. He's in another dimension. He's stopping everything. Like the post-to-post saves. His ability to deflect pucks around with a stick around the net, like those little poke checks and stuff. He's just on another level of confidence right now. And then you can see like his interviews now, he's crazy. Like he's so calm. He's just like the calmest, nicest man.
Colby, careful.
I'd be losing my mind.
Okay, careful with that sort of data. Fenway Sports Group might hire you.
Oh, yeah.
I just looked at Colby Armstrong, Penguins GM, parlay that with Biz, Leafs head coach, and you could be a winning parlay right there, you guys taking over the NHL world.
I'm a huge parlay guy, so that makes sense.
There you go.
Sense.
You can put the free bet for you today, all right? You go lock that in on your account, okay?
Great. And then just add Bobrovsky, Conn Smythe,
that's
and
a lock.
Boom, that's done.
That does nothing for the odds, but it's a lock. All right, Colby, great to chat with you. Good to catch up. Thanks for joining us this morning. Enjoy the rest of the playoffs.
All right, thanks. You guys, too. Yeah, good talking to you guys. We'll talk to you again.
All right, that's Colby Armstrong, former NHL forward, current Sportsnet and Penguins analyst and host of the Chicklets Game Notes and maybe future Penguins GM.
Maybe. That'd be quite the brain trust. Let's hit a quick wake and rake.
Let's do it.
Wake up!
Now it's time for wake and rake.
You could be raking in the dough with your kind of accuracy.
Show me the money!
With Ailish and Justin.
I'm going to be quick here. I'm going to refuse to believe that every conference final will be a complete read-through. I'm taking the Dallas Stars on the money line, -145.
Okay, let's extend the playoffs. I like that idea a lot. I'm taking the Mariners on the run line over the Oakland Athletics. They beat them 11-2
picking up right where you left off.
And
eh?
Boom, smash.
Fade the A's.
Those guys are brutal. Mariners on the run line. We got two Wake and Rake submissions. Corey from Port Hope says, good morning. Welcome back, Ayla. If we missed you for my Wake and Rake, I'll go with the under 4.5 runs in the first five innings of the Twins and Giants. Cobb and Gray have both under two ERA, so I like it to be low scoring in the first five.
I'll say something about Corey from Port Hope. Carried us through. We weren't reminding anyone. We were doing like 2 minutes at a time. But Corey from Port Hope is there every day.
It's Port Hope blood for you. My parents live in Port Hope. Love that place. One more. Morning, Ailish. Welcome back. Missed you. For today's Wake and Rake, I'll take the over in the Vegas-Dallas game. And Jules will take Bo Bichette over total bases. That's Ron and Jules. Miss them.
Okay, so three picks. They were in the Dominican Republic. Oh. They had a nice little vacation. We weren't even getting Ron and Jules.
They're using their Wake
stuff.
And Rake winnings.
They were.
Okay. I'll let you choose.
Let's go with Corey from Port Hope.
Yeah, over 4.5 in the first five.
Under.
Five. Under 4.5 runs in the first five of Twins Giants. I will lock that in for you. And that will be, all right, so the under first five in Twins Giants, I said Stars on the money line and the Mariners on the run line is plus 486 today.
There we go.
It's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
What was the weird one we had? Was it 444 for some reason?
Yeah, it was 444 on May the 4th.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah, that was
Did that
cool.
one hit?
No, it didn't.
Nah, it didn't.
And then we tried on Cinco de Mayo to do something different. And that also
555 and that didn't hit either. It's been a tough month for the Wake and Rake.
Yeah. Okay, quick FanX Cup. You can have your moment. I said 854. You go.
Brent Gunning's the golf guy, comes on here.
Yeah.
He puts people in holes. So if you're going to take some time off, which we will both do during the summer, just be careful who's coming in here and making golf picks, because he left Brooks Koepka on the board for me, 20-1. I now have a $2,000 to $1,000 lead in the FanX Cup standings, and now the pressure is on you with the Charles Schwab Challenge.
The Schwab, this weekend. Baby. I'm a blockhead now, though, so might be looking at the block party for my Schwab bets. We got a day or two for that.
He's
right?
on the list. We got to do it tomorrow.
We got to do it tomorrow. Okay, I'll take a look at the Schwab. All right, Blue Jays continue four-game series against the Rays tonight at 6:30 on Sportsnet 1, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and streaming on sportsnet.ca/590 and the Sportsnet app. That's Barrios and Bradley on the mound. We'll be back tomorrow morning to break it down. Go Jays.